Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 5, The Go-Getters is over, but we're just getting started here on The Walking Dead Live, here on Post Show Recap. And now, here are the two guys who are ready to roller skate through another recap. I'm Rob Testardino, and here is Alex Kidwell in for Josh Wigler. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Raymond, it's good to be back here. I'm so excited to be back on the show.
Yes, again, Albert, good to see you again. Yes, you used to go here, right?
Yeah, it sounds right. That's ringing a bell.
Yes. All right. Alex Kidwell is here. Very excited to talk with you about another night of The Walking Dead, as only 3 weeks to go here in this Walking Dead Season 7, Part 1.
How about that? Yeah, this front half really flying by. By some people's standards, I suppose.
Yes, flying by. Of course, Josh Wigler can't be with us here tonight. He's going to be out of service here with us on The Walking Dead for the next few Sundays. He'll be back with us on finale night, and we will we'll have one big party on finale night, Alex. Me, you, and Josh, as we talk about the first season finale or the first half of the season finale for Walking Dead in 3 weeks, but Josh is just busy with Westworld on Sunday nights as well, so he's spread too thin.
That's awesome, though. One of us should we should dress up. One of us should be Negan, and one of us should be Rick, and one of us should be Jesus.
Yes, all right. We'll put our names in a hat, and we'll figure everything out.
I don't think I have the hair for Jesus.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll figure that all out as we go along here. Hashtag PS Recaps on Twitter to send your questions in for Alex and I, as we recap the All Hilltop episode, little bit of Alexandria in the beginning, and mostly dealing with Maggie and Sasha from the aftermath of Glenn and Abraham being taken out.
Yeah, we JSS'd for a minute there, but other than that, predominantly a Hilltop episode.
Yeah, well, we got a lot to talk about with Carl and with Enid in this episode, but I guess we should start off this conversation talking about the business at the Hilltop and Jesus and Maggie and Sasha. And I know you're a big Jesus guy. You love Jesus on The Walking Dead.
Oh, didn't you see what he was doing tonight, Rob? Look at his mad karate skills. So cool.
He does have pretty
good karate
skills.
Wasn't that awesome when he like jump kicked the zombie into the fire? You weren't feeling that?
No,
that was all about it.
That's good. Yeah, so there was a lot going on where we found out first that Maggie and her baby are both going to be doing okay. Checked in with my wife. I've been threatening to do this for months. Going to ask her about what's going on here. And I talked to her about this diagnosis of the placenta being separated during the pregnancy. She basically said, and again, something may have been lost in the translation from me telling her what happened on the show to her telling me back what would actually happen. I think what she was trying to say is that it's very unlikely that Maggie would have felt as bad as she did and then gotten this diagnosis.
Yeah, seems apt. You know, I don't have the background, but you know, them saying it was just a small tear, you're lucky. Like, yeah, she was. You know, Maggie's a tough girl. I wouldn't expect Maggie to be screaming bloody murder over, you know, something that wasn't really, really major. So, you know, maybe the trauma and everything brought on some.
Yeah, let's not
agony,
get too caught up on this, but yeah, I mean, the point where she was on a stretcher and then it's like, oh no, everything's fine.
Yeah. Oh, turns out she could walk.
Yeah.
All right.
Everything's fine.
Damn.
She's so tough. She willed herself back to being healthy. And of course, we have now them being full-time residents at the Hilltop. Did you find it to be a little implausible that Sasha, too, was like, oh, okay, I'll just live at the Hilltop now, especially coming out of everything that went on with Negan?
Eh, she's a good friend. She's not going to leave Maggie there alone.
Really good
credit.
Friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's she got to go back to? She you know, she had Abraham. They're bonding over the loss of their boyfriend / husband.
Guess so. Yeah, good friend to Maggie, but probably a bad friend to everybody at Alexandria that she was like their best sniper. And, you know, their lives are definitely much more at risk considering that she's not going to be there at her post.
It's a fair point. I mean, maybe Rick would have nobody to kiss, but why not send Michonne? I mean, at least, you know, you know she can't shoot, so you're not missing her skills with a gun.
Right. You would think that there might be some other caretakers for Maggie, but that's besides the point. So we had the return of Gregory tonight, which we haven't seen since last season, when you would think he would have remembered Maggie after this sort of deal that they ended up making, which was a really seemingly important treaty that was negotiated.
Yeah, well, I remember your face, but I can't be bothered to remember all these names, Marcia.
Yes, yes. I mean, are we saying that Gregory has some sort of nominal aphasia?
I think that's being kind. I think the other plausible scenario is that he is just very aloof and doesn't care about you and your feelings.
And your name. Seems like the only name he really has down is Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. No,
we don't do that here.
Jesus is just great because anytime you're exclaiming it, it really like, Jesus, what the hell is going on right now? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to deal with everything.
Is that what's going to go on now? You're going to be you'll be running the show. You're going to be the man now, Jesus. Yeah.
Doesn't work as good at the end of the sentence. You got to start off the sentence with Jesus. That's ideal. So, all right. So that's basically what's going on at the Hilltop. And we had visitors from the Negan crew. Simon is back. And really, we had so much Negan so far, but we have basically the JV Negan, and Simon is fantastic.
Yeah, Negan Pro Tem is here, and you can treat me as Negan for all purposes that concern you. And that was good. I mean, you know, we've seen Negan, run a group, that he's got subjected. So it was cool to see the exact same thing from Simon. See how Simon handles business. See, Game of Simon Says, basically.
Yeah, the Game of Simon Says. Stephen Ogg is the actor, correct, that plays Simon?
Yes.
And he's really fantastic. I mean,
he was chewing some scenery tonight.
Yeah, he's just as good as Negan, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, maybe lost a little bit in the episodes at the end of last season where we got the big Negan reveal and we were waiting to find out about Negan is how great he is. You know, I've gone back and watched some of those, and I think I even missed, you know, some of those scenes there where they're in the RV and Rick steps out and he's saying something about, like, do you want this to be your last day on Earth? And Stephen Ogg's like, no, but that's a good question. You should think about it. You know, like, he's really, really good. Just kind of the matter of fact way he says that then. And we didn't know it then, but we know now that he knew exactly what was going on. There's a line there, too, where he's like, there's plenty of ways to get to where you're going. And then later, welcome to where you're going. It's like he knew all along. This guy is he's got some good lines in there.
Yeah, no, he's really, really great. I mean, especially all of the stuff with Gregory was really fantastic. The scenes where they're together in that room where they're sort of like trying to get to the bottom of what was going on when Gregory is bluffing his way through. Oh, my God, they're dead. What? Yeah, he's like, yeah, they're really dead. It's like, he's fantastic with that. And then Gregory goes to open up the closet and then reveals nothing but, what was that, whiskey?
Scotch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simon doesn't like it, but Negan does. So I'm just going to go ahead and, make that a re-gift deal. Here.
Yes. And I'm going to leave out the part where it was from you.
Yeah. We're just going to scratch off Gregory, wipe that right out, put Simon on the name tag, throw it right on the Negan truck, and we're in business. Go ahead and you're going to want to put that one in the box as well.
Yeah. So Simon had this really elaborate, almost like Batman villain-esque type plan. But I guess that's sort of part and parcel with working for Negan, where they ended up going into the Hilltop, opening up all the gates, lighting a bunch of fires, putting a car radio, I guess, blast as loud as can be, in some sort of a car that was like welded shut. They even went through the trouble to like weld some sort of like middle finger and attach it to the side so that you would know just that you were F. And then they set this all up at the Hilltop. What'd you think of this really elaborate plan?
Elaborate, yeah, but I think it's in keeping with the Savior's MO. I mean, we saw this really elaborate plan for Rick's group as well. I mean, they like to teach lessons in really elaborate, drawn-out ways, and I think, you know, it speaks to Negan's personality in general. I mean, this guy has a flair for theatricality, very clearly. He's Joker-esque in that way. He's all about the presenting a big, showy package. I mean, it's not just the action. It's how he goes about it is everything, and the world is his stage right now. He has all the resources he could want and all the time in the world to think of ways to make sure he can keep you in line. And so he's got some ideas and some plenty of options of ways he can go about doing this stuff.
This is my big question, though, coming out of that scene where it seems as though there are only four people that live in the hilltop. We did not see anybody else at the hilltop dealing with any of this. So it was like there was this whole big thing happening and only Sasha and Jesus and Maggie went to go deal with it. Gregory came out, closed his curtain, I'm going back to bed. Not one other person from the hilltop wanted to get involved with this.
Well, I think in the very limited time we had with these people, we learned that there's a lot more Gregory's than Jesus's in that bunch. This is a group of people who wanted to just kind of live in a co-op and just, do their own thing. And the saviors, the bubble. I get the impression, did not get much resistance from these people. And that's why they were so willing to make the same deal with Rick's group, as they thought, oh, good. We can make this deal, but at least these people won't beat us and, kill us. But I think the hilltop colony by and large is pretty incapable of, fighting. They didn't have a Rick to come in and teach them how to shoot and teach them how to, learn military ops. I think they've got Jesus, who knows karate, and that's about the size of it.
Is that one person there? There's not one person that's willing to sort of help defend the hilltop from walkers?
You saw those two guys in the balcony. I'll bet they've got a really, really tight group of capable, able-bodied men and women who can watch the gates, and then probably a lot of older or too old, too young, too sick. It's one of those spots where they just took everyone, and now they they're kind of a product of their own inner strength. They don't have no Abrahams running around in there.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it just seems unlikely that nobody even was like, hey, what do we do? Everybody's stay in our house.
Well, that's why they had so much produce to give Rick and them. They've got a lot of people with green thumbs and nobody with trigger fingers.
To the point that nobody even heard all of Negan's people setting up this whole thing.
There's no lookout. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Right. And that speaks to the complete lack of a system in that. Right. And it's seemingly the only two people who were capable enough to even run outside and see what was going on were the two guys Maggie then had to order to close the gate, as if they didn't realize to do that on their own. So really speaks to just a lack of knowledge, a lack of organization, a lack of leadership. This hilltop colony is a real hot mess. I mean, they may have some people, but they don't have any. I mean, they're just chickens with their heads cut off in there.
Damn. So you feel that Maggie is really positioned well to become the new leader of the hilltop?
Oh, I think it's an ideal situation. I mean, she knows some stuff that obviously they don't know. Jesus seems to be a good sergeant at arms. He doesn't want to be president, I don't think. But this seems to be a guy that knows what the right thing is. And Gregory doesn't seem to be going down the path that he feels is the right path. So, I did kind of interpret that when Sasha said, well, who will be the leader? He kind of looked at Maggie and smiled and said, well, we can talk about it. I kind of felt like that was where he was leaning.
Why not Sasha? Yeah, why not consider Sasha as the leader?
Well, I think Maggie has shown herself in this episode alone to be, and as I say that, I'm remembering her punching Gregory square in the face. I was going to say more diplomatic. Sasha certainly couldn't make sense of Gregory's position on certain things. How can he do that? Maggie understands the situation better. Sasha's he's an idiot. And Maggie's actually, no, he's just a coward. That's actually a little more dangerous. And she's 100% right. You have to be more worried about a coward, and that's what this guy is, and it showed itself by the way he then tried to rat them out.
But isn't it odd that they're going to just take Maggie, that they don't know, from a hole in the wall, and then she's just going to be the new leader of this place?
It does seem odd, but it also seems odd that they make Gregory the leader. So I think, again, it just speaks to who are the voters? You know what I mean? If the people electing are all really, really incapable, then to the point where Gregory looks like a capable leader, then Maggie's coming through looking like new Rick.
Okay.
For sure.
If you say so. So, all right. I have to talk about Carl and Enid. It's killing me. I'm so mad about Carl in this episode. It's been a while since I was this worked up about Carl.
He's not a smart kid tonight.
He's so stupid. He's such a stupid idiot, Carl. I mean, how many times do you have the same thing happen that Rick's like, okay, Carl, yeah, I know last week you stepped up to Negan and that was really stupid. We have to go out on a run. Stay here. Do the job that I asked you to do. Stay here. And then freaking Enid decides, oh, I have to go to Hilltop today. Why? Why, Enid? Is there, like, why is nobody listening? Nobody's acting like, what if Negan comes back?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you can attest to probably now that you have a toddler more so than a baby, but... You know, kids are little adults, Rob. They think they know. Like, you know what I mean? You can't tell them they don't know. They think they know what's up regardless of what you tell them. And you top that off with, you know, Enid lost Glenn. I think the only person she cares about left besides Carl really is Maggie. So she wants to find Maggie, make sure she's okay, make sure the baby's okay. And then you add in this equation of, you know, you go back to it was such a minor storyline, but the claimers, I mean, those guys, that guy was going to rape Carl. And Rick, like, bit out his throat. And, like, ever since that moment, you know, Rick told Carl in that moment, I will never let anyone hurt you again. Like, Rick pretty much in that moment became a symbol of strength. And, like, you could tell that Carl, from then on, he was wearing Rick's sheriff's hat every day. He idolized his dad at that point. I mean, his dad is a symbol of strength in this new world. Until the moment where his dad is kneeling and cowering in front of Negan. And you see, ever since that, Carl has been like challenging his dad on things, questioning his dad's leadership. That was never going on before Negan entered the picture. So it's just an instance of like, you've seen it with from Spencer, you've seen it from Aaron. For the first time, Rick in his like infallibility, in his knowledge of what the right thing is to do, screwed up. And now, you know, people who never would have questioned him before, including his own son, are starting to think that maybe they know what's best for them and it's time for them to lead their own lives.
Okay. So Enid decides she's going to start biking over to Hilltop. And I'm like, what is this? This is going to be like the Stranger Things episode of The Walking Dead of Enid and Carl hanging out on bikes. And then no. And then here comes Carl. He's driving a car. Oh, look out. I mean, it's like shades of Killer Chris from Fear the Walking Dead. What the hell was this? Carl's driving a car?
And who's keeping those bike tires inflated? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
And who's putting helium in these balloons? That's another thing I want to know.
Let's not worry about that right now. Carl's driving a car?
Sure. I mean, why not? Like, what, does he need a license, Rob? What's the part you have a problem with?
And was he going to go find Enid? Or
that
he has
one eye and can't even throw a dart? Is that the part you have a problem
with? Yeah, I mean, was he just driving around aimlessly to go find Negan?
I think he probably slow roll followed her. I think he said, you know, that moment where he's like, I'm not going to save you anymore. I'm totally going to go save her again.
Mm-hmm.
Cool guy. Like, yeah, that's what he was doing. But I think that was merely a detour. He was going to pick her up on the way to go, like... You know, I think he ultimately was hoping she would be the Clyde to his Bonnie on this voyage to save your kingdom.
Yeah. Well, so then they crash the car and then they are going to start walking to the Hilltop. And then, hey, what's this? A backpack filled with roller skates? What the hell am I even watching?
Yeah, not only two sets of rollerblades, but they fit, Rob. How about this?
Roller skates.
Everything is coming up Carl Grimes here in this moment. Like, the fate's really aligned for him to get his first kiss, I think. This is like, you know, perfect first date setup here.
What is this, The Bachelor? We're going to have rollerblading?
I felt like I was watching a Ben Stiller rom-com for a second.
Yeah, it was like, where was the montage of the roller skating with Carl and Enid?
Yeah, I wanted Eric Townsend to start playing. Or Pete Townsend.
10 years from now, we're going to be talking about, oh, at least it's not as bad as when Carl and Enid went roller skating.
Take my hand and let's...
I mean...
I really thought a truck was going to roll up on them and they were just going to get
got by saviors.
What
show am I watching where they're like, oh, you know what? Carl and Enid should roller skate in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where they should have played that Easy Street bubblegum pop music.
We're on Roller Skate Street. This is like as laughable as going back to Chris and Alicia playing dress up in Fear the Walking Dead. I mean, it's one of the, if not the most ridiculous out of place moment in the 7 seasons of the show. I don't know what is.
I think it's one of these moments where they're trying to show that even in a crazy futuristic dystopian world, that kids still find rare moments to be kids when in the rare opportunities they get. I mean, there's no Xboxes, seemingly.
But don't. Nobody's watching this show for Carl and Enid roller skating. Get out of here with that.
Well, just because you're not looking for it doesn't mean it's not maybe an accurate portrayal of what they're going for, which is, and you know, what would the world look like if all these things happened? And I think, you know, like, and that's why I think, you know, there's some people that have an issue with Negan. I think that's part of, you know, why I give him such a break as a character. It's like, to me, it's kind of like I look at it the same way of, you know, the way people talk about the Middle Ages as the Dark Ages. And like, yeah, like after Rome fell apart, like everything regressed, everything fell apart. And then all of a sudden, like, yeah, like warlords showed up and started like just strutting around. And like, this is what's happening again. We've lost technology and now we're back in like the new dark. This is like the Dark Ages part two. And so we're seeing, you know, kids do stupid things, I guess, in short lifespans, maybe, and crazy Negans.
Okay.
Run around.
All right. So we find out now that Carl's plan this whole time is that Carl was going to go kill Negan.
Yeah, about that. How about, yeah, real chrome-plated balls on this kid, as Negan referenced last week.
He's going to go kill Negan. Carl is going to go kill Negan, everybody.
The audacity of this kid. He can't even hit a bullseye from 10 yards, from 10 feet right now.
Yeah.
Like, you could shoot. I'm not going to take that away from you, but I have yet to see you solid target practice post losing your eye. But, like, take your time.
Yeah. All right. And then he's like, oh, no. Carl's going to go home. And then we find out in the end of the episode, Carl is hijacking his way to Negan's house. He's going to try to go kill Negan.
That's definitely going to end well, Rob.
What is wrong with you, Carl?
Absolutely. Yeah, if I was Jesus, I would bail out right now. I'd be like, oh, this kid's going to get me busted so fast. I want no part of this anymore.
Rick should have cut his arm off.
I mean, he would have been less capable with the climbing out of the wall and stuff. But, you know, more aptly, Rick should have just kept him close. When Carl said, no, I'm not going to go on the run, Rick would have been like, I'm your father. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
That's how that should have gone down.
I can't blame Rick. You know, I mean, how old is Carl? 23 at this point?
No, but I can't imagine seriously. He's much older than like 13.
I mean, somebody has to stay with Judith. If I'm Rick, I'm a parent now. You know, I have Carl and I have Judith. I'm like, you know what? Maybe my idiot son can stay home and make sure that no walkers kill my one-year-old daughter. That's my plan, maybe, if I'm Rick.
But he's acting angsty and rebellious, and Michonne's going to stay behind anyway. So no, you keep that kid close. I'm sorry. You don't take that risk.
Either way, how on earth is Carl doing any of the... What is wrong with him in his brain that he's thinking any of these thoughts?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, his brain is messed up. Like, he had bought into the mantra that Rick had preached to the Alexandrians, probably more than any of the Alexandrians, you know? And you see that moment with Rick in the church where he's having to do like PR spin damage control. Like, I thought we were taking them all out. We didn't take them all out. Now we're in real trouble. I don't know what to tell you guys. I've got no answers. I'm not the boss anymore. Negan is. Carl, I think more than anyone is affected by this. And he really wants to, like, he is not okay with this idea of subservience. He has bought in fully to this idea of Rick saying, like, this is our world and all
we
have to do is take
it. Well, he won't even listen to his dad.
Right, but he's thinking, if I just take out Negan, then I've done what my dad always preached. I've taken the power into my own hands. I've eliminated the figurehead. And I think there is some thought that, like, and probably not just with Carl, that, like, if I take out, and, you know, we even talked about it last week. If you take out Negan, would someone step up and be new Negan? Or, like who's going to do that? Fat Joey? Are any of these guys
Simon.
Really ambitious enough? Simon may be. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you look around and you see a lot of, you know, soldiers and not a ton of lieutenants, so to speak. So I think there may be something to the idea that the power structure is a bit, you know, bottom heavy. He's got like a pyramid scheme going, basically.
Yeah, don't get involved with the pyramid scheme.
So, all right, well, they don't go well. I think that's the problem is the power is all consolidated with small people at the top. And it's not a long-term solution.
Alex, are you a Carl Grimes apologist? Are you saying that he's onto something here?
No, I am not. I think I am being a Carl Grimes apologist, but it's more just like, give the kid a break. He's 13, living in a world we might have all committed suicide in by now.
He'll be dead. Negan will kill him.
Well, you look around, Rob. Where are the other 13-year-olds? I think he's doing pretty well for, you know, like the average 13-year-old. Carl's he's coming out ahead of the pack, no matter what happens from here on.
Carl's supposed to be 13?
I'm ballparking. He was a real little kid in season one. I saw a picture recently of like then and now Andrew Lincoln, and I forget the kid who plays Carl Grimes is escaping me, but then from season one and now, and I'm like, wow, that kid was little. I totally forgot. But yeah, he looked like 7 or 8, man. He looked real young in that first season.
Yeah, and tell me if I'm being too hard on Carl in this. I mean, that not just you, the people that are watching the show and listening to the show. I mean, tell me if I'm saying something that's wrong or out of school here.
Well, I think whether it's Carl or, you know, Chris on Fear the Walking Dead or even Ollie on Game of Thrones, Rob, I think you are inclined to expect some adult logic sometimes from some child characters. And I think that's part of what makes it endearing to listen to you talk about these characters.
I guess so. It just goes through me like a knife. I just that these
stupid kids,
these angsty teenagers that think they know everything and they're going to get somebody killed.
Right. Well, it's the Generation X person in you, Rob, that you just don't understand these millennials with all their just like roller coaster feelings. Roller skate feelings. They just can't, you know, just get a grip on them and just kind of rein them in.
All right.
Careening out of control.
And then we have Enid, who wants to go hang out with Maggie over, and she's going to live with Maggie now in the Hilltop. What's with Enid and the green balloons? I know Enid, that her job with Glenn, they were going to put green balloons there. She put green balloons on his gravesite. What is the significance of green balloons?
That was their thing. The two of them were, they had that trek home, and both of them thought there's a chance we might not get back. There's like a sea of zombies between them and home. And all they had was those green balloons in the moment. So I think it's just symbolism. It's just, you know, me and Glenn, we got close on that mission, and on that mission, that was our thing. And here's like the only thing. And also, you look around at what they have. Possessions are scarce, and the Saviors just took everything that was cool. So, I mean, green balloons, that's what she's got.
I guess so.
That's what we're working with.
Here's Maggie, and she says to Enid, like, oh, here's Glenn's pocket watch. That was my dad's. You know what, Enid? I don't know you from a hole in the wall. Here, take the one thing I have of Glenn's. That was also the one thing I have of my father's. I don't need anything from Glenn. I don't need anything to remember. What the hell? What is she thinking?
Well, I think if you want to nitpick, maybe I could see that, like, why not save it for the baby? But I think that it speaks to Maggie is like getting over this quicker than we ever might have hoped. Like that's a rational thing to say. I don't need this token. I have powerful memories of my husband that I will cherish always. Like, that is like the kind of thing a psychologist tries to guide someone to after when they're trying to cope with loss. Like, no, you don't need to just like hold on to this, amulet. This amulet isn't Glenn. Glenn is everywhere. You can carry him with him everywhere you go. And I think
I am Glenn.
Well, yeah, we are all Glenn. We are all Negan. And I think it speaks well to how Maggie's like recuperating. Like, even though what she said to Enid, no, I'm not all right, but I will be. Like, that is like a remarkably astute and self, that's like really, really good of her to recognize. Like, she knows exactly where she's at. She's not deluded. She's not having some kind of like huge mental breakdown. She's not like building a statue of Glenn out of earwax in some garage somewhere. I mean, these are really like sensible cognitive thoughts she's having.
Charles in the chat room says that pocket watch is bad luck. Everybody who has it dies. So maybe that's what she's thinking.
Yeah, here, take it.
Yeah.
The old maid.
That Glenn and Maggie, I don't understand the two of them, because then Glenn, he was like, he had the picture of Maggie, right? And then he set it on fire. He's like, oh, well, I'll see her again. I don't need a picture of her.
Right. Yeah. So I think, that's why the relationship worked, Rob.
They're crazy.
Neither of them are hung up on material things. They both transcend that. I just think you're missing that there.
I am missing it. I don't get it. That's crazy talk to me. You have one thing that was Glenn's, and it's like, Enid, here. If she gave it to Sasha, I wouldn't even say anything. But Enid? Who's Enid?
Oh, it means more to Enid.
Lock her back in the closet.
Sasha's an adult. Sasha's dealt with grief. But Enid, like, she lost her parents. She had nobody. She finally opened up to Glenn, and now she's lost Glenn. And I think Maggie, give Maggie credit. A lot of times when you're dealing with that much grief, you can't put yourself in someone else's shoes, because how could you? But she has, like, she's able to recognize that Enid, like, oh, this will mean a lot to Enid in this moment. She's really struggling with the loss of Glenn, that she came all the way here to the grave, and she's just sitting here with the balloons. So I think that's just her, you know, being a good friend and a good diplomat. And I think that's probably why she would be, you know, a good head over there among all the crazies at the Hilltop who don't seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah. Alex, what do we see on this show next week? You know, we had so many different episodes where we had the first episode was sort of everybody dealing with the Negan thing. And then the second episode was just dealing with everything in the kingdom. And then we had the episode where we were just dealing with Daryl and Dwight. And then we had the episode just at Alexandria. And then pretty much this was just at the Hilltop. Is there any place else that we need to check in? Or do you think we possibly start combining these stories now?
I think we start combining. I mean, you could argue like 1 hour Tara and Heath episode next week, but I don't think that's where it's going. I mean, I think Tara and Heath have to factor back in, but I don't think we need to go there exclusively. I think the fact that we have four main locations and we've used four episodes to set them up individually, to me, it's kind of like a Game of Thrones model where like they've not necessarily done that in the past, but they could have always gone that route where like you establish these locations and their different, you know, political dynamics and power structures and what goes on there and the current events. And then you begin to see the, you know, the pot kind of simmer and the stories meld together. And I think that's where we're going to start going next week. I could see lots of things. I could see, you know, we could revisit the kingdom briefly and just see, you know, their perspective and kind of them integrating Morgan for a little bit. We could also see, you know, Rick getting back to Alexandria and realizing Carl's gone. Simultaneously, we could see Carl getting caught at, you know, among the saviors and see what it looks like when Negan is leading a bunch of people and maybe has a prisoner. And then we could also revisit the Hilltop and see kind of like how the power structure is changing there. So it seems like there's really options here now to bounce around and do like scenes at locations. Now that everyone understands who's where and what each spot looks like again, we've like refreshed the board.
Next week's episode is really going to be interesting because the coming attraction for the preview, if I was not mistaken, I believe it said coming up this season on The Walking Dead. We didn't get like a straight trailer for next week's episode. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it made me nervous. I wanted to like hope that it was an inclination that we were going to do bouncing around next week. But no, obviously, no guarantees.
I mean, what do you think it's going to be? I mean, in terms of like the title of the episode, we could look that up to see what it's going to be. But I mean, is it possible that we go just like completely off the board and get like the Negan flashback episode next week?
No, I can't imagine we're getting a Negan flashback. I think part of what makes Negan so cool in a lot of ways is that we don't understand how somebody got to this point. Like, and I think it's almost cool. You know, to me, it's like the Joker. Again, I hate to compare him to the Joker, but part of what makes the Joker so cool, I think, in DC Comics lore is that they never really have done a true Joker origin story. They've had him telling lots of different backstories of himself, but no one really knows who this guy really ever was before he became this crazy person. And I think that's what's cool about Negan too. Like, who could have this guy have possibly been pre-apocalypse to become this larger than life, this personality? I mean, you know, for all we know, he was just like a tow truck driver, but you know, like one thing led to another and here we are. And I think that's part of what makes the whole thing kind of interesting and cool.
Okay. Just to give you the log line, how about this, Alex Kidwell? The 71-minute episode coming up next week.
All right.
Called Swear. And Swear. According to Ep Guides, which is my go-to source for Season 7, Episode 6, the description is, someone stumbles upon a brand new society, and this society is unlike anything seen before.
Oh, Taryn Heath. Sounds like we're going there.
No, it's someone. So, I mean, I guess it's possibly like Rick ends up at the kingdom or something like that, where it's a maybe that's where we go, where Rick is like off doing something. Maybe we follow the Rick and Michonne and they end up at the kingdom. They're going a certain direction.
Although that's not a brand new society.
I don't know.
It's like a fresh society, but someone definitely took the plastic off already.
Interesting. Okay. Anything else that is top of mind for you about this episode before we get into some of these questions?
It was cool to see Jesus back.
Jesus is going on a reconnaissance mission, or is he going to kill Negan also?
No, I think, like, see, that's what I was trying to figure out a little bit about that. I had some questions there because Sasha has asked him to go find out where Negan lives so that she can go do that. And he gets on the truck and I'm like, well, what do you have, like a tracking device? Like, I'm not sure how you're going to do this. And then he starts pouring out some whiskey and I'm like, what is this, like a Hansel and Gretel trail? That'll dry up, buddy. I don't know what you're doing. I was very confused by all that. I don't know if he's going to pour out the whiskey and then smash like bottles on the way. And like,
no, I think that was just like a F you to Negan.
He's just being a dick. Yeah.
Negan liked it. I don't know why you would do that. I feel like that probably would be a good move, like just to get Negan really wasted when you get there and make him easier to kill. But that's just me.
Right, yeah, and like you're going to alert them to your presence by breaking, you know, like, oh, there's not as much whiskey here as there was supposed to be. I wonder what's going on. Let's look around now and be on high alert when we weren't before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good call.
Yeah. So, I don't know what Carl's plan is when he gets to Negan's hideout. He's just going to sort of like wait in the wings and then like what?
Yeah, I'll tell you what Carl's plan is. Carl is a kid. Step one, get in that truck. And then step two, I didn't think I'd make it this far. That's where he said his head is at. Like, yeah. He's not thought this through at all. The truck is going to stop, and then he's going to be like, oh, what do I do now? And they're going to start unloading, and they're going to find them. Like, come on, dude. Like, unless Jesus is smart enough to be like, jump off now. Like, he jumped off ahead of time.
Yeah, get out of here. Get out of here,
like
Carl.
Carl wouldn't have, like, the wherewithal to jump off a mile ahead of their destination point. Mm-hmm. Where it's like Jesus wouldn't take the chances of waiting for the truck to slow down.
Carl, you are so grounded. Yeah, big trouble, Carl. All right, let's take a look at what you guys are saying in the chat room and then hashtag PS recaps to answer your questions about tonight's episode. This is from a scammer who wants to know which Grimes got the better kiss tonight, Rick or Carl?
Got to be Carl. First kiss, man.
First kiss, right? Enid.
Pretty sure it was. So that's a slam dunk, man. Okay. That's a big deal.
All right.
I'm sure. Well, I'm sure Rick kisses Michonne every morning. Not that it wasn't sensual or anything, but
whoa.
I mean, hey,
yeah.
Trying to be an equal opportunity judge of this of this question here.
All right, Alex, you should jump into it with some of these questions as well. This is from Fat Tyson Apostle. Is roller skating the new jumping the shark?
I mean, they could have used those roller skates to jump the shark. Now that I think about it, where was the ramp?
Get ready. Roller skating over the shark.
Carl's going to go for the high score.
Yeah. William in the chat says he made out with Enid in the hollowed out tree stump last season.
Oh, yeah, I guess he did.
How quickly we forget.
Yeah. Well, It wasn't that good. This was more memorable because it was like it was intense. Like the passion is always heightened when you're doing it in like a public place where you could get caught.
Whoa! And leave your personal proclivities out of this podcast, Alex.
Well, not only were they possibly going to get caught, they were out in the open. It could have got shot. Like the Saviors are unloading trucks like 5 feet away, and they're just making out. Like that's a risky gambit. Definitely gets the heart going.
Yeah. What happened to the roller skates? At what point did they stop roller skating?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have to assume that the hilltop, like, it's not just like a paved, like, nice, like, route, you know, like, Route 29 doesn't go right to the hilltop colony. I'm sure at some point it becomes, like, dirt road and you had to ditch the skates.
Right,
the
I guess by its very name, it is a hilltop, which is probably difficult to traverse on roller skates. Right.
Yeah, we're better off walking. This is going us nowhere.
Why didn't we go to Hill Bottom? Yeah, that would have been a lot better. Okay, let's see what else. Cabin Douche says, you can take the girl out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the girl. What'd you think of Maggie's tractor story?
Pretty good. And yeah, her use of tractor, very, very good as well. Although, you know, she says, like, not I just the first sat time. There. I just sat there. I didn't do anything. Look at where that door was. You had to do like a serious chin up just to get in that tractor. So I give her credit, but she does. I agree with Enid and with Sasha. She needs to start taking it a little easier. This is risky business.
Hey, this is old hat for Maggie that she also drove a tractor over some guy's Camaro when she was in high school. I hope they what's the fine for that?
It doesn't matter anymore, Rob. Money is irrelevant.
How'd Herschel get her out of that one? Destroying a Camaro with a tractor.
He probably gave the guy like a lifetime of free. Like anytime your dog gets sick, dude, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Just free vet appointments.
Yeah.
That's all he's got. Okay, cabin douche. Does Gregory know who he's dealing with? Maggie is punching for two now.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. That was a serious, what was that, a left hook she unleashed there?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
Uncorked that one.
Just punched Gregory right in the face. So can you discuss the comic book origins of that? They were showing that on the Walking Dead Story Sync tonight.
Yeah, so, you know, these are two characters that, you know, feature still prominently in the comics. You've got Gregory, the annoying, you know, kind of sycophant, cowardly leader of the Hilltop. And you have Maggie, who, you know, in this similar position, you know, pretty much just, yeah, I mean, decks the guy. The guy is none too, you know, easy to get along with. And, I mean, yeah, you look at the way he acts towards Simon, and he was like, I made real progress with them today. No, you didn't, dude. If you were to, like, step on that guy's toe tomorrow, he would just kill you. I mean, it's like, it's absurd that you think that was progress. They are literally just getting what they want out of you. But if they weren't getting it out of you, they'd just try to get it out of someone else. They don't feel like they need you or anything. I mean, he's deluding himself.
Yeah, deluding himself. How do you see the Hilltop tying into everything else going on this season? Like, how do we get back to Alexandria?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting now because I talked about last week. I feel like, right, Rick said we don't have the numbers. We can't do it. But I feel like maybe Alexandria plus Hilltop plus Kingdom, like, I would guess that probably gives them the numbers, but not necessarily capable numbers. Like, the Hilltop, what are they bringing to the table? Not much, right? But at
they
least
have
we've
Jesus.
Got, like,
that's it.
Just Jesus, right. But at least we've got feelers out there. We've got a Morgan and Carol at the one spot. We've got a Maggie and Sasha at the other spot. We know Sasha can train people how to shoot. I mean, like, we've got options here. Like, that's basically, like, what you talked about. Like, let's just wait 6 months. You got to play the long con here. You've got to, like, slowly and silently, like, take people out in the fields and teach them how to shoot. You've got to, like, train your own mercenaries to eventually go after Negan. Because you're right. You can't just, like, arm a bunch of farmers and expect them to be able to handle these, like, military operatives that he clearly surrounds himself with.
Yeah, I mean, did you see Negan's crew that showed up at the Hilltop? This is, like, the backup crew for the Hilltop. And they showed up. Like, you know, 40 like jacked guys all with like assault rifles just ready to go.
Yeah, right. So I think right, the answer is you need to have guys who are your team who is at least equal in number and hopefully at least equal in training. And then also you need to like ideally get the jump on them. Like they've been a step ahead with information at every point we've seen. Like they open your gates and set fires and unleash zombies without you even knowing it. And they block off all the roads and make it so you can only drive one way. The moment that Rick is first doing something and Negan isn't getting it, that's the moment that we'll know the tides are about to turn. The moment that there's like people out in trees with walkies or something, they figure something out where it's like, we've got Simon's crew en route to the Hilltop right now. And they've got like, they're monitoring and tracking where and when. Like that's when we're cooking. We got something going then.
Just wait until Carl shows up and then he's going to wait till he gets the drop on Negan. He's going to come here, Negan. I'm gonna get you scrappy dappy douche.
Yeah, maybe I'm just overthinking it. Maybe Carl just go in, pop Negan in the head, and take over, and then Rick will, you know, Carl will come with Lucille next week and ask to be let in, and then Rick will be in for a surprise.
I just can't wait until Negan like has Carl by like the back of his neck, and be like, "Are you freaking kidding me? Like, what is this?"
Yeah, that's like that. That's the eventual payoff that we know we're going to get, hopefully, at some point. But it remains to be seen if it's going to be like a Game of Thrones situation. Like, how long are we going to be waiting for this guy to bite it? Is it going to be seasons?
Carl?
Or is it? Oh, no. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Negan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that Carl's actually going to get killed off here. But, I mean, there's every reason to believe that he should.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised. Like, if he doesn't get caught, I'd say it's only by the grace of Jesus.
Yeah, and that's my problem with these shows. It's just when people do such stupid things. That's where I get them. That's where I start to lose it.
Well, not everyone's as logical and calculating.
Pragmatic.
As you
pragmatic. Yeah. Right. Yep. It's just like, what is he? What is he thinking?
Yeah, he's had all he can stands and he can't stands no more.
And he's
more,
not
though.
A stupid kid. I mean, he's made it through the 7 seasons of the zombie apocalypse. He's seen a lot of you-know-what go down. I mean, go back to last season with the kid that his father died. And it was, and, you know, that was Jesse's husband. And that kid was like, you know, the type of douche that would do something like this. And Carl, I'd like talk sense into him.
Ron Douche?
Yeah, Ron Douche. But now Carl is being just as douchey.
Yeah, well, I think this is a product of a kid who was winning for so long he forgot how to lose, and then he lost in the most painful way possible. I mean, that's all I can come back to, is that I just keep thinking that psychologically has messed with everyone in a different way. Like, Rick is slightly off his game. Everyone's a little off, and Carl, for some reason, he's off in the other way, where it's like he is so emasculated by this moment and by seeing his dad emasculated that he's like doubling down on testosterone. And it's not logical, but it's his emotional response.
Okay. Well, you've put it very artfully.
That's what I try.
I understand what you're saying, but I will never be able to understand what Carl is thinking.
Yeah, hey, you don't have to respect the kid's decision making. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to, you know, give him a 13-year-old's benefit of the doubt. But you're right. In this world, there's no room for error. And again, I think for me, it speaks to that. Like, Rick, just, I know he's getting older. He can handle a gun. But just, if you find one of those child leashes on your next run, like, not the worst idea to just, like, keep this kid strapped to you for a couple weeks, just see how it goes. Maybe once he starts, like, eating his peas at dinner and saying yes, sir, and stuff, maybe you can let him go.
Yeah. All right. So here's what we're going to do from here. So this week, usually Wednesday is when we get to it. We will have our Walking Dead feedback show. Josh Wiggler and myself will take all of your questions about this week on The Walking Dead. So send us those questions. Go to postshowrecaps.com/voicemail, or you can email us your questions, twd@postshowrecaps.com. We'll get to all of your feedback from this week's show. And then, of course, 1 week from tonight, Alex and I will be back to talk about the mysterious episode 6 of season 7 of The Walking Dead.
Terra Overload. Can't wait. Yeah, get your feedback in. Just like the Alexandria crew, you have 3 days.
Yes. Do it. Swear. Swear is the name of that episode. Okay. All right. Alex, what's the hashtag tonight?
Oh.
What, do you got anything?
I always do, and then I wrote down
was the hashtag roller skate feeling.
Skate feeling. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
All nothing right. else jumps out at me.
Nothing will make you feel as good as roller skating with Enid.
Yeah.
JSS. Yeah, that was, just skate somehow. How about that? You like that better as a hashtag?
Just skate somehow. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, put on some nice happy tunes and skate your character.
Roller
away.
Girl. Yeah. All right. So very fun stuff here tonight. I'm sorry if I made anybody mad that I get so upset about this stuff, but you know, I take this very seriously.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And that's I'm good cop. I'm Negan, and you're Lucille. You're the bad cop. Like, I thought the episode was fine. Like, I get where Carl's coming from. He's just a kid, but Rob, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I believe me. I get it. But Rob. Oh, he thought it was really dumb.
Yeah. So yeah. You're going to get hurt, but you know, I tried.
You're going to cry.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, looking forward to hearing what you have to say on postshowrecaps.com. Of course, you can subscribe to our Walking Dead podcast. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. Have a great one, everybody. Take care. Bye.